Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the General Electric second quarter 2012 earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. My name is Chanel, and I'll be your conference coordinator today. If at any time during the call you require assistance, please press star followed by zero, and a conference coordinator will be happy to assist you. If you experience issues with the slides refreshing, or there appears to be delays in the slide advancement, please hit F5 on your keyboard to refresh. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the program over to your host for today's conference, Trevor Schoenberg, Vice President of Investor Communications. Please proceed.
Thank you, Chanel. Good morning and welcome, everyone. We're pleased to host today's second quarter 2012 earnings webcast. Regarding the materials for this webcast, we issued the press release earlier this morning, and the presentation slides are available via the webcast. Slides are also available for download and printing on our website at www.g.com/investor. As always, elements of this presentation are forward-looking and are based on our best view of the world and our businesses as we see them today. Those elements can change as the world changes. Please interpret them in that light. For today's webcast, we have our Chairman and CEO, Jeff Immelt, and our Vice Chairman and CFO, Keith Sharon. Now I'd like to turn over to our Chairman and CEO, Jeff Immelt.
Thanks, Trevor, and good morning, everyone. The G team had another good quarter. Let me start by giving you a few of the main points. First, we're confident in our earnings outlook for 2012. We remain on track for double-digit industrial and financial earnings growth for the year. And we restarted the GE Capital dividend, returning $3 billion to the parent in the second quarter. The environment continues to be challenging. The U.S. is stable. The appliance market grew by 1%. With housing starts up more than 30%, that bodes well for the future. Rail loadings were up 1.2%, and our retail volume and our private label credit card business is up 9%. We saw solid growth in the emerging markets with revenue up 17%, and Europe remains very tough but within our expectations. Our revenue was strong with organic growth of 10%. Orders are up 1% and up 3% ex-wind, and through the first half, orders are up 8%. Orders pricing was up 1.2%, and foreign exchange impacted revenue by $900 million in the quarter. Earnings grew by 12%, better than planned. Capital, energy, oil and gas, transportation, appliances were strong. Disc ops continues to be a headwind. And we have a very strong cash and liquidity position. We bought back $900 million of stock in the second quarter and plan to do an additional $3.5 to $4.5 billion by year end. Margins are improving, and we're on track for margin growth starting in the third quarter and for 2012 and 2013. So overall, the team continues to make progress. Orders are up 8% year-to-date and consistent with our plans for the year. For the quarter, orders were about flat. It's important to explain the impact of two unusual items, foreign exchange and strong wind orders in 2011. Discounting the impact of these factors, orders are up about 3% in the second quarter, and energy equipment orders are up about 9%. Orders pricing was a highlight with four or five businesses growing, and we continue to build backlog. Europe remains weak, particularly in service. Our orders position and our orders position today supports our growth plans for the future. Our investment growth continues to pay off. Growth market revenue expanded by 17%, with 7 of 9 regions experiencing double-digit gain. For instance, China was up 24% and Latin America was up 50%. Services grew by 2% and backlog grew by $4 billion. And our NPI continues to work. We won big in Farnborough with $17 billion of new aviation commitments. Our Mission One refrigerator is sold out, and we have two more appliance products launching in the third quarter. We're expanding our battery plant. Our platform in Russia is resulting in new gas turbine orders and high market share. And we have a very strong product line in healthcare. Orders growth in the second quarter for MR was up 10%, and CT was up 12%. And we're adding value in our acquisitions. So in these volatile markets, we're winning commercially. We made progress on our margin commitments. We expect margins to grow starting in the third quarter. Starting in the third quarter, and to be up 30 to 50 basis points in 2012 and 100 basis points over 12 and 13. At EPG, I described our approach to margins. In the second quarter, value gap was a positive $100 million. Service margins grew by 10 basis points. And our acquisitions are ahead of plan, although still a drag overall. I also said that we would reduce structural costs by $2 billion between 12 and 14 by simplifying GE. And you saw some of that today with the elimination of the top energy structure. Here are some benefits of that move for investors. With all the acquisitions, our energy business has become very big and complex. Power and water will remain GE's largest industrial business. Here we're benefiting from a positive gas turbine cycle. Oil and gas is about $15 billion in revenue, and we're positioned for rapid growth. And energy management at $7 billion has several solid growth platforms. These moves will allow us to become faster and more focused to win in each market. At the same time, you'll get transparency around three large and important segments that all have different opportunity for growth and are led by strong management teams. And we expect to eliminate $200 to $300 million of cost. Actions like this are always done carefully at GE. John and I have been working on this for some time, and both feel it's right for the company. As you can see by our second quarter results, our energy business is doing very well. We expect the second half in energy to be very strong, and we're well positioned for 2013 and beyond. John and I will work on a smooth transition in the third quarter, with three leaders reporting directly to me in the fourth quarter. John leaves the energy business in great shape. And cash is a great story. With the capital dividend, we're at $6.8 billion in the first half, up 55%. This is ahead of our expectations. Working capital is impacted as we prepare for high shipments in the second half. We end the quarter with $74 billion of consolidated cash. And there's another piece of good news. Due to changes in pension funding requirements, our pension cash needs will be reduced by $2.5 billion in 12 and 13. Now let me turn it over to Keith.
Jeff, thanks. I'm going to start with the second quarter summary. As you can see, we had continuing operations revenues of $36.5 billion. That's reported up 2%, but we were impacted by the stronger dollar. XFX revenues were up 5%. Industrial sales at $25.1 billion are up 9%. GE Capital revenues of $11.5 billion were down 8%, consistent with our planned shrinkage. Operating earnings of $4 billion were up 7%. Operating earnings per share of 38 cents were up 12%. Continuing earnings per share includes the impact of the non-operating pension, and net earnings per share includes the impact of discontinued operations, reflecting the 5 cents of charges this quarter, which I'll cover on the next page. As Jeff covered, year-to-date cash of $6.8 billion was up 55%, including the $3 billion of cash from GE Capital. For taxes, the GE rate, 20%, is consistent with the low 20s rate we forecast at the end of the first quarter, and the year-to-date rate for GE is 22%. The 5% GE Capital rate, that's lower than the approximately 10% rate we previously forecast. The lower rate's largely due to the business property disposition tax benefit that I'm going to cover on the next page. With the impact on the year from the business property disposition, the tax benefits we get with that, that's going to allow us to shrink real estate a lot more quickly. We now expect a mid-single-digit GE Capital rate for the year. On the right side, you can see the segment results. Industrial revenues were up 9%. Industrial segment profit was up 7%. That's driven by the double-digit growth in energy, oil and gas, transportation, and GE Capital earnings were up 31%. So I'm going to cover each of the segments in more detail in a page or two, but let's start with the other items in the quarter. As you know, GE Real Estate announced the sale of its business properties business. We had 2 cents of tax benefit in the second quarter from the high tax basis we have in the shares of the entity that we're selling. This transaction is expected to close hopefully by the fourth quarter and will result in $5 billion of lower real estate ending net investment. The BP tax benefit here is recorded in the GE Capital headquarters results in the second quarter, so you won't see that in real estate. You'll see that in corporate and capital. We also had a 2 cent after-tax of restructuring and other charges in the quarter. The charges primarily related to continued cost structure improvements at GE Capital, energy, healthcare, corporate, and we also had one-time costs related to the acquisitions. And on the bottom of the page, we had a 5 cent charge related to our WMC and Gray Zone reserves this quarter. I'll start with Gray Zone. No, we did see daily claims reductions in the range of what we were expecting in our models in December and January, but since then we've seen an uptick in the claims number over the last few months, and the increases are above what we modeled. The claim severity, the amount per claim is running within our modeled expectations, but because of the higher claims, we booked $310 million of additional reserves, and that reflects a slower overall claims reduction rate than we previously modeled, and we ended the quarter with $695 million of reserves. For WMC, at the end of the second quarter, there were $2.7 billion of pending claims, up from $562 million last quarter. You saw that in the first quarter 10-Q that the claims were increasing. This acceleration in the quarter we think is driven by statute of limitations considerations. So we saw an uptick above what we expected. And the reserve that we booked is based on our historical WMC experience, plus it includes an estimate for future claims. The WMC ended the quarter with $491 million in reserves, up from $140 million in the first quarter. And we're going to continue to monitor both these items, but we believe the exposure is manageable. So let me go on to the businesses. The first business is energy infrastructure, and I'll begin with the energy segment. Energy had a strong quarter in Q2. Orders of $7.8 billion were down 6%, driven by the non-repeat of last year's wind orders. Equipment orders of $4.4 billion were down 5%. Thermal orders of $1.4 billion were up 10%. We had orders for 30 gas turbines in Q2 versus 41 last year. However, we also had orders for 5 steam turbines this year versus 1 last year, and we had higher thermal order pricing. Wind orders of $900 million were down 37%. Equipment orders ex-wind were up 9%, and we had orders for 428 units versus 668 last year. Total equipment order pricing for the energy business is up 2.7%, and thermal is up 5%, and renewable pricing is also up 5%, so a nice turn there. Equipment orders, even including wind, are up 9% year-to-date. So a little bit of this is wind, and a little bit is just the timing of orders, and at the half, we feel pretty good about where we are. Service orders of $3.4 billion were down 8%. That's driven by lower upgrades and outage services. We did see customers continue to run their gas turbine equipment as a result of the low natural gas prices in the quarter. Aero services were down as a result of tough comparisons. Last year, we booked 10 rental units for Japan. And revenues of $8.6 billion were up 19%, driven by all the strong volume. Renewable revenues led the way, $1.8 billion. It was up 160%. We shipped 726 wind turbines versus 269 last year. And thermal revenue of $1.6 billion was down 20%. We shipped 31 gas turbines versus 32 last year with some mixed differences. Both gas engines and air derivatives had strong volume growth, and service revenue of $3.7 billion was up 4%. Segment profit of $1.3 billion was up 15%, and that's driven by the strong volume that we saw in the product lines. On the second business in energy, oil and gas, they also had another strong quarter. Orders of $4.1 billion were up 1%. They were up 6% ex the impact of the strong dollar. Equipment orders of $2 billion were down 8%, driven by tough comparisons to last year. However, again, if you look at year-to-date equipment orders for oil and gas, they're up 21%, and service orders of $2.1 billion were up 11%. The orders price index for the business was up 1.8%. Geographically, we continue to see strong growth in Asia-Pacific, up 60%. North America was up 27%. The Middle East was up 19%. That was partially offset by Western Europe, which was down 17%. And Australia was where we had the large one-time orders last year, so that gives us some tough comparison. Revenue of $3.7 billion was up 5%. Equipment revenue of $1.7 billion was flat. That's up 6% ex-FX. And service revenues of $2 billion were up 10%. Segment profit, $535 million, was up 11% as the strong volume and positive price more than offset the negative impact of foreign exchange on the business. So overall, a really nice, strong quarter in energy, and we have a very good outlook as we look to the second half. Next is aviation. Orders of $5.6 billion were up 5%. Commercial engine orders of $1.3 billion were down 19%. CFM56 orders were up 12%, and orders for GE90 and CF34 were down in the quarter. Military equipment orders of $1.2 billion were up 200%, driven by F-110 foreign military orders, and the equipment order book-to-bill in the business was 1.22. Service orders of $2.6 billion were down 3%, driven by commercial services. Our second quarter average daily order rate was $20.6 million per day, which was down 14%, partially offset by our long-term service agreement orders, which were up 5%. The total orders price index was positive at 2.2%. You know, if you look from a market perspective in aviation, the year-to-date passenger traffic is up 6.5% through May. Cycles flown have been about flat over the last 12 months. However, we continue to see the impact of customers' working capital actions. For example, in Western Europe, our spares orders were down 34%. And right now, our expectation for the second half, this is going to recover somewhat. We don't expect it to get back to last year's levels, but we do expect it to improve over what we saw in the second quarter. Revenue of $4.9 billion was up 3%, driven by strong equipment volume, partially offset by the lower spare sales. We shipped 566 commercial engines in the quarter versus 473 last year, and we shipped 27 Gen X engines, up from 4 last year. Segment profit of $922 million was down 4%, as the benefits of positive price and lower base costs were more than offset by the lower spares. On the right side, transportation, they delivered another great quarter. Orders of $1.4 billion were up 2%, and for the first half, orders are up 29%. Equipment orders of $808 million were down 3%. Lower mining orders more than offset higher locomotive orders. Service orders of $590 million were up 10%, and the orders pricing was up 1.1%. Revenue of $1.6 billion was up 27%, driven by the strong volume. We shipped 243 locomotives versus 163 last year. We also shipped 195 locomotive kits versus 94 last year, and mining equipment was up over 30%. For the first half, we shipped 402 locomotives, and our estimate for the total year is around 650 units. Segment profit of $282 million was up 58%, driven by the strong volume, positive pricing, and positive service results. Next is healthcare. The orders of $4.7 billion were up 1%. This business was also impacted by a strong dollar, up 4% ex-FX. Equipment orders of $2.7 billion were up 4%, driven by strong growth in emerging markets, partially offset by Europe. If you just go around the regions on equipment orders, the U.S. was flat. China was up 26%. Latin America was up 9%. Middle East was up 13%. India was down 8%, but up 9% ex-FX. Europe was the soft point, down 13%, driven by Southern Europe. And just a few numbers by modality. Globally, CT was up 12%, MR was up 10%, life sciences were up 6%, and the PET business was down 14%. Service orders of $2 billion were down 2%, also driven by Europe, down 10%, and revenues of $4.5 billion were flat, or up 3%, FX adjusted. Emerging markets were up 11%, offsetting the developed markets, which were down 2%. Segment profit, $694 million, was down 2% as the benefits of the volume and productivity were more than offset by negative price, and we had execution challenges of about $30 million in Latin America. Excluding those, we would have had healthcare up about 2% in the quarter. Home and Business Solutions had another tough quarter, but we did see some positive signs in appliances. Revenues of $2.2 billion were up 2%, as appliances revenues were up 10%, partially offset by lighting revenue, which was down 8%. If you look at appliances, retail sales were up 11%. Contract sales were up 22%. As Jeff said, we saw a strong pickup in housing starts. Appliances saw 5 points of price increase in the quarter, and at the same time, we increased share again, reflecting the benefit of the investments we've been making in new products over the last 18 months. As you know, we introduced a new bottom freezer refrigerator this quarter. It was sold out. We're doubling the production rate. And the offset is in lighting. We saw volume pressure in the U.S. and Europe driven by lower incandescent sales. Segment profit of $91 million was driven by appliances, and the benefits of higher pricing were more than offset by inflation and lower lighting volume. Next is G Capital. Mike Neal and the team delivered another very positive quarter. Revenue of $11.5 billion was down 8%, in line with the assets, which are down 7%. Net income of $2.1 billion was up 31%. That's driven by lower impairments, principally in real estate, plus we had some one-time tax benefits that I covered on the other items page, and that was partially offset by some of the dispositions we've been making as we shrink GE Capital. I'll cover all those items by business in a minute. We ended the quarter with $433 billion of ending investment, already below our original $440 billion target for the year, and we're on our way to about $425 billion for the end of the year. Our net interest margin was 4.9%, up 47 basis points, and there are more details on GE Capital and margins and capital levels in the supplemental deck that we posted this morning. On the right side, you can see the asset quality metrics continue to be good as delinquencies fell in CLL, real estate, and the U.S. retail. They were up slightly in mortgage, and that's a seasonal effect that we see. A big highlight is the continued improvement in commercial real estate. We also saw strong volume at good margins. We continue to shrink our non-core assets. And even after paying the $3 billion dividend, our Tier 1 common ended the quarter at 10.1%, up a full point over last year. So if you look at some of the business results, the commercial lending and leasing business, if you look, assets were down 7% year-over-year, driven by non-core runoff. Commercial volume in the Americas was $7.7 billion, up 2%, and returns on new volume remained at a 2% return on investment. Earnings of $626 million were down 11%. That was mostly impacted by $60 million of year-over-year pressure in Italy from credit costs. Even with that, our European business earned over $50 million in the quarter, and the Americas earned $527 million, which was down 3%. Our consumer results were better than the reported variance shows. Assets were down 7%, had somewhat driven by foreign exchange and non-core runoff, and that's partially offset by $5 billion of growth in the U.S. retail business. Earnings of $907 million were down 13%, again driven by last year's exit of Colpatria and other non-core assets. The U.S. retail business had a great quarter. They earned $641 million, up 9%, on higher assets and higher margins. Europe core business earned $154 million, up 13%, on lower credit costs. And U.K. home lending had another good quarter, earning $45 million in the quarter, and the portfolio quality remained stable. Real estate was the driver of the earnings growth in the quarter. Net income of $221 million. That's up $555 million over last year. It's up $160 million from first quarter. The earnings were driven by lower marks and impairments, one-time tax benefits, and lower credit costs. In the quarter, we had $5 million of after-tax credit costs, $19 million of after-tax marks and impairments. That's the lowest level we've had in years. We sold 55 properties for $700 million, resulting in $53 million of gains. And so the improvements that we've seen in liquidity and valuations continued in the second quarter, and as of now, we expect the real estate business to remain profitable as we look into Q3 and Q4. DCAS had another good quarter. Assets were up 2%, driven by strong volume at over 3% ROIs. Earnings of $308 million were down 4%, driven by two small credit losses. And the portfolio quality here continues to be strong. We have $56 million of non-earnings in the whole portfolio and only three aircraft on the ground out of over 1,500 aircraft. Energy Financial Services earnings, $122 million, were down 12%. We had $850 million of volume in the quarter at approximately 5% return. So another great quarter for G Capital. If you look at the Q2 earnings of $2.1 billion from a run rate perspective going forward, I'd take a few items into consideration. First, the BP tax benefits that I covered don't repeat at the Q2 amount as you go into the second half. Second, the third quarter includes our annual GCAS impairment review, which you're all familiar with. Last year, the impact of that was $107 million after tax. I don't know what it'll be this year. I just give you last year's numbers for context. And third, we're expecting that retail reserves will be higher, as they usually are in the third quarter seasonally. Last year, retail credit costs increased $188 million after tax from Q2 to Q3. So with that, let me turn it back to Jeff.
Thanks, Keith. And now to the operating framework. We want to confirm our operating framework for the year. We expect industrial earnings to grow double digits. Energy is going to have a very strong second half, and margins will be positive in the third quarter and for the year. Capital earnings will grow double digits. Commercial real estate has improved dramatically, and Europe is manageable. Corporate's on track and will offset any gains with restructuring. Cash expectations are being revised upward because of the capital dividend and pension change. We now expect $17 to $19 billion of CFOA for the year. Organic industrial revenue growth should continue to expand 5 to 10%, and we'll continue to shrink GE Capital. So we have a very solid outlook for 2012 and good momentum as we turn the corner for 2013. Finally, I think there's a lot of positive news in this report for investors. We have a solid industrial outlook. We have a big backlog, and margin performance is on track for the expansion we communicated at EPG. We're getting cash from GE Capital, and we will continue to position it to be a smaller, more valuable franchise. We have a lot of cash. We plan to use the $4.5 billion capital special dividend to buy back additional stock, and those efforts will accelerate in the third quarter. Meanwhile, we'll continue to grow the GE dividend in line with earnings. So in a volatile environment, GE's positioned for double-digit earnings growth and valuable capital allocation, and this is a powerful combination for investors.